This is God's word in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Familiar scripture, Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Been hearing that verse, I expect, for many years throughout your life. Let your light so shine. It implies that you have a light, doesn't it? And that you have a choice in hiding it under a bushel or hiding it under a bed or letting it so shine, that is, shine in such a manner, before men. So there's a public nature to this letting your light shine in such a manner that they, the men, may see your good works. The good works have a public characteristic to them. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. They are to shine in such a way that they will be seen publicly and point to God, not to yourself or to any other human, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, the Son of God. That's a pretty straightforward teaching. But now, let's read, starting in Matthew chapter 6 with verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, so thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. How do you put these together? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 4, the Lord's talking about doing alms. If you wonder what that is, that's mostly giving to the poor and disadvantaged. That's what doing alms means. And in Matthew 6, 4, the Lord Jesus Christ says that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. And then he, in verse 6, talks about prayer. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And then when he's talking about fasting, and he doesn't say, moreover, if you fast, he says, when you fast. He says in verse 18, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Which is it? Are you supposed to do good works in secret, that your Father will see them in secret and reward you openly? Are you supposed to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven? That's very public, isn't it? Are you supposed to do good works in public to be seen of men to glorify your Father? Or are you supposed to do good works in secret, not to be seen of men, that your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly? You know what the answer to that question is? Yes. Depends on the works, doesn't it? I want to give an illustration, if I might. You've probably heard how an iceberg is structured. If you were ever on a North Atlantic cruise and saw one of those great mountains of ice that break off a glacier or break off the polar ice cap and come floating down in the ocean current, an iceberg is majestic to see, like a white mountain gliding across the ocean waves. And you look at it and see the whiteness of it and the size of it. And if you're of a right mind and have been given the ability to do that, it makes you think in its size and majesty and color, and makes you think how great the Creator is. It actually points to God in a way. But you've probably heard over and over again through your life that the greatest part of that iceberg is not the part you see floating above the waves. It's that part that you see floating beneath the waves. That it's actually far larger. That's the part ships worry the most about. It extends beyond what you see, just where the iceberg over the waves interface with the sea. There's something much greater underneath. For 2 years of my life, my mailing address was in Honolulu, Hawaii, a beautiful island of Oahu. And there are waterfalls there, and there are pineapple plantations, and a naval base, and an Air Force base, and an Army base, and a great city, and a commercial harbor, and fields of fruit. But it's not all that big. I think it's probably roughly the size of Metro Atlanta, the whole island that you can walk around on. But the thing about it is that's just the part of the land that happens to be above the sea. The island itself is really a huge mountain, and it goes swiftly down into deep depths beneath the sea. It's hard to tell that when you're walking around on the island, but that's the way it's structured. As a matter of fact, if you went down to the biggest island, which is named Hawaii itself, to the south, it's a much larger island and a much larger mountain. And if you need some evidence that you're really dealing with a mountain, there's two peaks on the island. One is Mauna Kea, and it's covered with snow at the top there in the tropics. And the other, Mauna Loa, is still an active volcano. You're actually walking around on a mountaintop, but because it's surrounded by water, you call it an island. But the greatest portion of that geological structure is something that you can't see. When the Lord said these words in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And then in Matthew chapter 6, talked about doing alms in secret and praying in secret and fasting in secret. He was speaking to his disciples. If you read the start of Matthew chapter 5, it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountaintop, and his disciples came up unto him. And when he was set, he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.'" The point that I want to make out of that is the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples. Now, the multitudes may have gathered around later. The people that heard him marveled at the wisdom, and they were astonished. For he taught them not as the scribes, but as one having authority. But his message was directed to his disciples. Not only did he tell his disciples to be giving, that is, do their alms in secret, and to pray in secret, and to fast in secret, he also taught them, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." That must mean there's some other good works, and that those good works directly, publicly point to God. Now, you can give to the poor. You can do alms. You can help the disadvantaged and never mention God, and folks won't even think about God. They'll just think how good you are. You can go and pray in your closet and be blessed by the Lord. Pour out your heart, confess your sins, ask for what you need, beg for His Spirit, ask for His wisdom, and He gives it liberally. All of that can be done and should be done, but men will never glorify your Father which is in heaven as a result. They never even knew you were in your closet. You can fast and afflict your soul before God. Go without eating for a day, perhaps. And as you do that, you start to feel how feeble and frail you are. It reminds you how much you need God. Reminds you how much you need Him to supply food. Reminds you that the prayer should be, "Give us day by day our daily bread." It's good for you. Not only physically good for your health now and then, it's good for your soul and teaches you how much you depend on God and makes you more grateful when you come back to eating again. But you know, if you do that the way the Lord Jesus Christ taught, then no person ever sees that, and there's nothing that makes them think about God. You say, well, if I do that and giving to the poor makes other people I'm doing it in secret so they don't see me, or if they see me, they just think I'm a good person. And I'm praying, and it's in my closet, and I'm fasting, and nobody ever knows I'm fasting. How are men ever going to see a light? How are men ever going to behold the good works and glorify my Father which is in heaven? Well, giving to the poor and praying and fasting are important. You're talking about your fellowship in secret with God the Father, and it causes for a rich, close walk with God. But that's not all the good works that the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded us to do. He's commanded us, for example, to assemble like we are here today. "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but provoke one another to love." And there's another place that says to provoke one another to love and good works. "And so much the more as you see the day approaching." Now, think about that for a minute, brothers and sisters. You can't assemble yourselves together for the purpose of trying to worship God without it being public, without other folks knowing about it. And other men see that good work of assembling. Now, if you're assembling just to be seen of men, that's a pretty poor reason. If you're assembling just to try to be more religious than somebody else, that's not a very good reason. But if you're assembling really trying to worship God, asking the Lord, please send me the presence of your Spirit. Help me to hear your gospel. Lord, help me to be in prayer with these brothers and sisters. It's a public act, and it glorifies your Father which is in heaven, because you're publicly meeting in the name of Jesus Christ and glorifying God. And people see that. People see the cars parked in the parking lot. Anybody that comes in sees you gathered here, trying to sing, trying to pray, trying to listen to the Word. And that helps them to think about God. It points to God. They see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Baptism is a good work. You don't think it is? When John the Baptist told the Lord Jesus Christ, I have need for you to baptize me, and comest thou to me? The Lord Jesus Christ said, suffer it to be so, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, this is right. This is a good work. And when you engage in the good work of baptism, that symbolizes the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that points to God, the three in one. Men behold your good works and they glorify your Father which is in heaven. When you sit at the communion table and there the unleavened bread is broken, and there you take of the cup, and one is a picture of the Lord's broken body, and the other is a picture of his shed blood. What does the Scripture say you do when you do that? For as oft as you do this, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. There it is. It's a public showing that you are thinking about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, about his body being broken, about his blood being shed, about his life being laid down for you. It's a good work which glorifies your Father which is in heaven. It's kind of like that iceberg, isn't it? There's a part of your life serving God that can be seen. It's public. It's above the waterline. And there's a beauty to it. There's a beauty of God's little children gathering together, assembling for the worship of the Lord Jesus. And there's a beauty when a person is baptized and comes forth as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And there's a solemnity and a beauty when that bread is broken and that cup is taken. And it's done publicly. It's good works. And the works glorify your Father which is in heaven. But underneath that, there's the other 6 days of the week. And in those 6 days of the week, very often, a faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ will be on his knees in prayer to the Lord. Maybe he's got to the point where knees hurt. Maybe he's curled up on his pillow, praying to God. Maybe he's driving down the road with his hand on the steering wheel, praying to God. Maybe a couple few times a year, you may decide, you know, I'm taking the Lord's blessings for granted. I need to draw close to him. I need to feel his nearness and to feel how dependent I am on him. I'm going to stop eating right after lunch, and I'm not going to eat again till lunch the next day. And that gets hard sometimes. You start feeling hungry that night and wake up with no breakfast. You begin feeling weak and you think how good God is to put something in my pantry so that when noon rolls around, I can start eating again, feel the strength returning. Sometimes during the course of the week, you may have a child or a grandchild or a friend or even a stranger you know that's in need, and you do your alms. You help them out. Maybe you see somebody on the roadside and you think, well, this one looks like they really do need some help, and I don't know, but this is between me and the Lord. In secret, what they do with it's between them and the Lord. I'm not saying that you have to give to everybody. There truly are some folks that are just scoundrels and charlatans out there. I say, ask God to guide you with His Spirit. Sometimes He may have you for your own safety, drive on past. Other times you may want to help out some because the Lord's directing you to do that. And it's between them and God what happens after that. But you do that, nobody else may know about it. What I'm saying is that's the part of the iceberg underneath the waters. If it were not for that secret personal relationship between you and God, well, what everybody else saw would be a little more than show. There would be a hypocrisy to it, would be to be seen of men. And so it's of necessity that we have those things that are done in secret, secret prayers. By the way, does that mean you should never have a public prayer in worship, such as Brother Lee just offered? No, that's a scriptural thing, to have the church pray together and have somebody pray out loud. You'll find that in Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John come back to the church meeting. After they've been examined by the Sanhedrin, it says that they came back, it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of Thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against Thy holy child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, and with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word, by stretching forth Thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of Thy holy child Jesus. You see, they prayed together in public. That is something that's given by example for the New Testament church to do. But brothers and sisters, for every prayer we hear when we're gathered, and it's out loud in public, which is a good thing, I hope there are many, many more in the lives of each one of us that are in private, that you go to your Father in secret, and that your Father which heareth in secret may reward you openly. Sometimes we like to go to extremes. We like to just take one or the other. Sometimes folks will hear these things and say, you know, I really don't want to be a hypocrite, and I don't want to be showy, and I don't want to be religious fanatic and everything. I'm going to do this secret stuff. And so I'm going to help people. I'm going to give to them, and I'm going to pray to God. And it's going to be secret. And occasionally I'm going to fast as God directs. Nobody's ever going to know about it. I'm going to wash my face, comb my hair, put on my good clothes, and I'm going to go out, and nobody's ever going to know. I'm going to be cheerful even if I'm wanting a meal real bad. And so I'm going to do this in secret because that's what I think is more sincere. And that's what I think is more pleasing to God. You know what you're like if you do just that? You're like an iceberg all underneath the water. There's nothing there that points to God. There's nothing there that lets anybody know where you stand. You're not glorifying your Father which is in heaven. You're praying to Him. You're fasting to Him. You're giving, thinking about Him. But you're not glorifying your Father which is in heaven before men. You know what? If you just do the things that are before men, you go to meeting, and you sit at communion, but you get home and you think, I've taken care of church for the week. And you don't pray. And you don't give. And you never fast. Then you're just like, it's like the Pharisees, where the Lord said, you are as whited sepulchres, beautiful mausoleums, which outwardly appear beautiful unto men, but within are full of corruption and dead men's bones. That is, there's nothing below the surface. You know what the parable of the sower said? That some fell in the wayside and the birds ate it up, and some fell among rocky ground and sprung up immediately, but afterward they withered, for they had no root. They were offended because of persecution's sake, and they fell away because they had no root in themselves. So what does that mean, no root? Meant most of the plant was out there where you could see it, and there was nothing underneath to sustain them in times of drought, rocky ground, blasted dry winds. There was nothing there. It's so important that as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ that we heed both of these things. If all your religion is secret, just between you and God, then you're not obeying what the Lord said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Everybody just thinks you're a good person. Well, great. You've done some good that may help somebody get a meal or may help your health with a fast, and praying, of course, is beneficial, but you haven't pointed to God before other men. On the other hand, if everything is just outward, then you don't have any root within yourself. And so what I'm saying here is, which of these teachings is true that the Lord taught his disciples? Both of them. What if you had an island that was a mountain that came off the ocean floor, but you know, you just cut the island off right there at the surface level of the ocean? Well, it'd be useful. You might could dock a ship there if you needed to, do some repairs or something. But as far as living there and planting a crop and making a life, you never could do it. Well, what if it was just outward over the ocean and it was just floating around? Then you'd have no stability. The island would drift. The climate would change. It would be a dangerous place to live. There was one congressman speculating on whether an island would tip over if you overloaded it. Well, no, because it's rooted on the ocean floor. But if you had an island that was just all above the waves, you might run into some dangers like that. It'd be very geologically unstable. You need them both, is what I'm saying. There needs to be that secret one-to-one fellowship with God, but there needs to be that outward public, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. There needs to be some good works that point to God himself. Now I just want to briefly, before I sit down, think of the first part of that. Let your light so shine before men. Isn't it a blessing? Isn't this good news that you have a light? You know, man by nature doesn't have a light. This is the condemnation, said Jesus Christ in John chapter 3, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness more than light. That's the nature of man as conceived in the womb of his mother. Romans chapter 3 verse 10 says, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands. There's none that seeketh after God. Their feet are swift to shed blood. The poison of asps is under their lips. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's how human beings as conceived before the new birth are described in the Bible. There's no spiritual light within them. But God makes a difference. And how does he make a difference? Well, he paid the price for that sin and darkness, that he might be the light of the world of people whom God so loved. When he went to the cross, do you remember the condition he was hanging in? He was hanging on the cross in darkness so that we, God's children, might be given a light. For he is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. We're talking about there the world that God chose. We're talking about the world that God loved. We're talking about the world that God gave to Jesus Christ. But he is that light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He said, I am the light of the world. How do you know if you've been lit by the light of the world? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Would you like to be right in God's sight? And you mourn over your sins because you know that your deeds would not make you right in God's sight. You've been lit up, brothers and sisters. The Lord Jesus Christ hung in the darkness for you in order that he would light you up, and he doesn't fail to do that. If he hung on the darkness successfully till he said, it is finished, and he did, then he will, without fail, light up every one of his children. And because ye are sons, he hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Now follow me with this. If Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and because ye are sons, he has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. If the Spirit of the light of the world by grace comes into your heart, then what has happened to you? You've been lit up. You've been made a light. And a disciple of Jesus Christ knows this. I think there are many, many, many children of God who have been lighted by the powerful light of the world, and they are born again by God's Spirit, and they're out there, and they know that they're hungering and thirsting for something right, and they know they're mourning over what's wrong, but they don't know what to do about it. They're just seeking. They're hungry. They're sad. They're struggling. They're mourning. And yet, somebody that's heard the gospel as it is given in the Scripture and know that the Lord Jesus Christ has lit those people up because he shed his blood in the darkness for them, they know then that they have a light. I hope you know you have a light. What are you supposed to do with that light? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do some things that point to God. Do some things to walk with God in secret. Do some things to walk with God in secret. And do the things that point to God in public, that men may behold your good works, glorify your Father which is in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.